Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin, 7-7. And the Mishnah continues to explain certain of the mitzvahs that were listed back in Mishnah Dalet, for which the crime is potentially skila. And this Mishnah discusses three of those mitzvahs. The first is Hanosin Mizaro Lamolech, one who hands over his descendants to Molech. Now, the way our Tana learns, this rite is a religious rite, but it's not a form of worship of the idol Molech. It's rather some sort of Canaanite custom. Kind of the same way you wouldn't say like shaking a lulav or getting a bris milah is worshiping Hashem. It's a Jewish rite, a ritual, but it's not a worship per se, like it's an avoda. So that's the same thing over here. There was a Canaanite practice of somehow passing over some of one's children's to this Molech deity. In the process, here basically there's two parts to it. One is essentially handing over the child to the priest of the Molech, and then the priest hands it back to the parent. And then the parent will sort of carry the child over a fire. Now there are two different psukim that talk about this, and because the psukim describe different angles, one handing over, one passing over the fire, we understand in this Mishnah that both of those ingredients are necessary to be liable potentially for skila. One pasuk back in Vayikra Yud Ches Chaf Aleph says, "Umazar acha lo siten lahavir lamolech." That pasuk says, "From your children you won't give over to pass them to Molech." And then in Devarim Yud Ches Pasuk Yud it says, "Lo yimatze v'cha ma'avir bano uvito ba'ish." You will not find amongst you someone who passes over one his son or daughter through the fire. So it's those two separate stages. And the Mishnah basically is going to say you need to do both to be liable. Inside it says, Hanosin mizar ola molech. If one gives over his child to the molech, eino chayev, he wouldn't be chayev skila, even, you know, putting aside the issues of Edom and Hasra and the like, ad sheyimsor la molech, until he both hands it over to the priest, and then after that, v'yavir ba'esh, and then he passes the child through or over the fire. If one handed over the child to the priest but then didn't subsequently pass the child over the fire, or hevir be'esh lo masla molech, or he passed the fire but didn't previously hand over the child to the priest, eino chayev ad sheyimsor lamolech v'yavir be'esh. He's not chayev until it is both those things. Some girsos take that latter part out, which is redundant really, but anyways, that's the first part of the Mishnah. Now the second part of the Mishnah, which actually features as a new Mishnah in the Bavli, discusses two other mitzvahs that were listed back in Mishnah Dalet, which are related. One is called Baal Ov, and one is called the Yidoni. So these are two different forms of necromancy, kind of consulting the dead to get some sort of fortune or future told. And the Mishnah is going to say that one who acts as the necromancer, as the fortune teller, who performs either of these two sort of occult acts, would be liable potentially for skila. In contrast, one who consults with the necromancer, who asks the questions about the future, they would be over a generic lav and culpable potentially to malchus, but not more than that. So the Mishnah says inside, what are these things? Baal Ov. What's the Baal Ov? The one who performs this Ov service. So that is Zepisom. It's a kind of necromancer, like a fortune teller, a future predictor, prognosticator. Hamadaber Mishichyo, who speaks from his armpit. So the way that the Bartanura learns, kind of like the Rambam, is essentially you have this skull, and the skull is the kind of the source you're consulting. There'll be some incense burning towards the skull and asking questions of the skull, and then a voice will come either from the Baal Ov, the person who's doing the asking and doing the incense burning, etc., from within his armpit, as the Mishnah says explicitly, or according to the Bartanura and the Rambam, it could come from the ground as well, and like beneath the ground in like a kind of very faint voice. Whatever it is, I can say no more about it. Rosh seems to learn that it's like it's one thing, not two, just the armpit, whatever the case is, and that's the Baal Ov, the one who, the practitioner of the Ov service. And also you have the Yadoni. A separate thing altogether is Yadoni. Although the Pasuk prohibits both Ov and Yadoni together, we understand that each one is a separate crime, and one could be liable for one or the other, because elsewhere, another pasuk says, Al tifnu el ha'avos, excuse me, ha'ovos, one shouldn't turn to the ovos, that's like type A, vel ha'yedonim, and that's the type B. So it's the two separate things. So what's the Yedoni story? The Yedoni, says the Mishnah, ze ha'medaber befiv, one who speaks from his mouth. Says the Gemara, what happens is there's some creature called a Yadua. Ani yodea maze Yadua. I don't know what this Yadua thing is. That's strange. Whatever it is, it's a bone from this creature. It goes in the necromancer's mouth. And then, again, questions are asked to the dead. And then the voice comes from the bone in the mouth of the necromancer, who's the Yadoni, the one who's the practitioner of this Yadoni, ritual, whatever it is. And the voice comes from his mouth, but from the bone in his mouth. So those two characters are practitioners. Hare elu b'skila. If they do it, they're liable to skila. V'hanishal behen, and one who consults them. So that ba'azhara, that's a more generic law, meaning again, this subject, the consequence of Malkus. Worth asking that Shaul HaMelech did consult with a necromancer, and there was an ov. And the question is, how is that mutter? The answer is something wasn't mutter, but Shaul thought it was mutter because he thought he had to do it as like a way to save his soldiers. Okay, fine.